song and love that thought, and I know that all of us should if you don't already. And what a wonderful joy it is to be able to be in church tonight. And as you know, we often get a joke when we begin our services, the preaching time now. And if you know me, I don't tell too many jokes. So here's my best joke I could think of for this evening. It is 7:04. We'll be out by 7:25. All right, that's our joke. All right, so. And if you've heard me preach before, that I'll be really, that's a joke. So, no, I'm going to do my best. We'll get out tonight and had a good time. I'm excited about what God has for us this evening. Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 18, and we'll jump right into what God has for us. As you make your way there, why don't you stand to your feet out of respect for the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 18, and we'll read down to verse number 12. And I believe share a thought with you that can be a great blessing as we're on the verge of all that God has for us. And I know that He desires to work through our church. And I want to share these thoughts with you. The Bible says, "When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, 'I've been an alien in a strange land,' and the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father said he was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. And he said unto Moses, 'I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her.' And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, 'Blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. For in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them.' And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God." Seeing God's work in your life will make others hungry to see His work in theirs as well. And there is no doubt in my mind that God is at work at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And all we really need to do is what Moses did in this passage of Scripture, and just share the message of what God is doing. And God, through that, can take our testimony and make a difference in our community that we could only begin to imagine. So let's pray, ask God to give us insight in this passage and to speak to our hearts tonight. Father, we do thank you for all that we've already been able to be part of in the service tonight. I'm thankful for Brother Kyle's testimony. Lord, what a great reminder it is to just follow you. And Lord, to seek your will for all of our lives. Lord, we're never beyond the point of needing to ask you daily, God, what would you have me to do today? And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take that. And Lord, I pray that you would bless Brother Kyle and Miss Anna as they finish up where they are and they make transition to here. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to all labor together in the work that you desire to do. Lord, this is not any man's work. Nothing that we're doing here that is of any value is done by the work of man's hands. But Lord, we want to enter into your labors. We want you to be able to use us as you used Moses to change the life of the man that we read about in this passage of Scripture tonight. Lord, thank you for the testimony of the man who was saved after the Spanish service this morning. Lord, that's what it's all about. And I pray that you'd help us to see more and more of that in the days to come. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Mr. Vincent was a man many, many years ago who was quite a wealthy man, and he one day was on a day trip. He's over in England. He was on a day trip just out and about doing some things that he just wanted to do for his own enjoyment, and then as he was getting ready to end the day, he missed his boat to get back over the river to the side of the river that his house was on, and so he had to wait overnight. This was back in the 1800s. He had to wait overnight and the place that he was at. And so as he waited, he, as I said, he was a wealthy man. He had means. He didn't just want to get a room and just sleep the night off. He thought, well, now I've got some time, and so I'm going to find something to do. And so he wandered around the town that he was at, and not too long after that, he heard some music coming out of a room nearby, and a building nearby. And so he was kind of curious. There was a sign outside that said some things. He didn't really know the names that were on it. And so he went into that building, thinking that he was walking into some play, some drama of some sort, and he was surprised when he walked in, because the men that were on the platform were not doing what he expected. They were just in plain clothes. They were not acting, apparently, from what he could tell. They were preachers, is what they were, and what he had unknowingly done is stumbled into a D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey meeting. And he walked into that room that night and sat down, and it took a little bit, but after a little while of Mr. Sankey singing and Mr. Moody's preaching, he felt the conviction of the Spirit of God in his life, and he, that night, put his faith in Jesus Christ to save him. And he was just an English man. He was a wealthy man, part of the wealthy culture of that day. And so he was involved in a lot of the things that they would do just for fun. And one of those things was horse racing. And he would oftentimes in the past bet on horses, and then thinking that they would maybe make some money for him. And so as he then moved on with his life, he began to realize some of those things were not things he should be doing as a believer. And that was one of them. And one day he was with one of his friends, and his friend's last name was Stud. And he was with Mr. Stud, and Mr. Stud raised or paid for the raising of horses, and he thought that he had a horse that was certain to win this upcoming race. And as they were together, Mr. Vincent and him were together. They were riding in a carriage together, just talking together. And Mr. Stud was telling him that he should bet on this horse. And Mr. Vincent said, well, I don't do that anymore. I've accepted Christ as my Savior, and that's one thing that I don't believe I should be doing. And Mr. Stud kind of gave him a hard time about it. And then as they got to Mr. Stud's house, he encouraged Mr. Vincent. He was trying to convince him to go back on this decision he had made. He said, you should stay with me. Don't go on. Stay with me. Eat lunch and have a time together with me. And Mr. Vincent thought about it for a second. He knew what was in store. And so he said, okay, I'll stay with you if you'll agree to go with me later this evening and do whatever it is that I want to do. And so Mr. Stud thought, well, sure, why not? And so they stayed. They ate lunch and spent some time together. And after that, they got in the carriage, and Mr. Stud asked him, well, where are we going? And he told the carriage driver where to go, but didn't really say much about what they were going to do. And Mr. Stud was curious as they made their way there. And as they got closer and closer and closer, he finally began to drop some hints. And Mr. Stud was an educated man. He read a lot. He had read the newspapers of the day and found out that the place that it sounded like they were going was a place that he had heard that Mr. Moody and Mr. Sankey were holding another meeting. And sure enough, that's where Mr. Vincent was taking Mr. Stud. And they went into that Moody and Sankey meeting that night. And that night, Mr. Stud did not get saved. But his curiosity was piqued. He had seen a change in his friend and then heard this message. And so he went back again and again and again. And it wasn't long after that Mr. Stud accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And there was a complete change in him. He sold all of his horses. He took all of the area that they used to raise the horses and converted into places for preachers to stay and live. And as they were passing through, and they would hold regular meetings. And he was just on fire for God. And his life was completely changed. And his children were not all that okay with it. But after a while, of watching what God had done in their dad's life. All of his children accepted Jesus Christ as their saviors, and we as their savior, and we know one of them. If you know that last name I saw when I mentioned Mr. Studd, some of you recognize the name, because that was C.T. Studd's father. C.T. Studd was a missionary in the 1800s to China, to India, and finally to Africa, and was a man that was used in a phenomenal way to unlock continents and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was really quite phenomenal. I've read the story of C.T. Studd's life, and it is just amazing to read what God did through that man. And when I think about all that, I think that it all began at Mr. Vincent's life, if we want to go back just that far, and the change that happened in him that spread to Mr. Studd. When Mr. Studd began to see what God was doing in Vincent's life, it brought him to a desire to see God in his own life. So much so that it completely changed him after he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I think about that story when I think about this passage this evening, because I see in this passage a very similar circumstance in a way. Because we read about this man named Jethro, and he was a man that we're going to talk about as the message goes on, that was not really one that we would have thought maybe would become a believer in the God of the Bible. But I believe by the statements that he makes in this passage of Scripture, but by the time this moment was over in his life, he had come to believe in the God of Moses, in the God of the Bible. And I think about that, and I think about us. And I ask myself, what is God doing in my life that would draw someone else to desire to see the same? What has God done in my life? And then I step back from just me and I think, what is God doing in our church that would lead others to desire to see God at work in their lives? And it really doesn't take me very long to come up with some answers to those questions as I think about how God has changed me through saving me and bringing me up and all that he did and leading me here and all that God has done in the time that my wife and I have been privileged to spend here. And we're looking forward to all that he has to come in the days ahead. And I think about our church and the many, many years of ministry that Buffalo Ridge has seen. And I think about it often as down through 240 or so years, God has been at work in this area through this church. And I'm so excited because I know he's not done yet. I know that we're looking forward to this week as we go to the preview service and then next week to the dedication service. And we look back at all that God has done, and we look ahead to all that God desires to do. And it was a moment just like that that completely revolutionized the life of Jethro. You say, Brother Daniel, what does that mean for me? Well, you and I are supposed to be Moses in this story. See, Moses did not have but one job in this story. Just tell about what God was doing. And I want to tell you what. We live in a world with all kinds of bad news. If you just start to tell a genuine story of what God is doing, people are going to want that too. Because God does so much in our lives that is so wonderful, that is so helpful, that is so peaceful, that is so powerful. And when we experience that, all we have to do is just tell someone else. And so tonight, I want to look at the progress of Jethro from a priest of Midian to a believer in Jehovah. And we're just going to look at a brief survey of his journey so that we can understand how God desires to use us in the lives of people that are in the condition of Jethro tonight. And so the first thing I want you to notice is this. There was, first of all, a cultivated curiosity. As you think about Jethro, I want you to think for a moment about his background. Don't read by verse number 1 of chapter 18 without pausing for just a moment. The Bible says, when Jethro, the priest of Midian. That right there is a big clue about what we're looking at right now. This was not a priest in Midian to Jehovah God. This was the priest of Midian to some heathen deity. This was a man who was a lost Gentile leader of worship. He did not just go to Midian something or another, not true church. He led the church, if you can use that terminology to help put your mind there. He was the leader of the cult in Midian, of some unknown and unreal God. That's Jethro. He had lived his life. He had given his life to that particular moment. And you think, well, how long? Maybe he was a young... No. Well, Moses had married Jethro's daughter 40 years before that. I mean, this was a time in his life where Moses had gone and he had spent some time. He'd married Zipporah. So his whole life, it seems, that this man had been involved in this false worship. And so Jethro has now heard about what God is doing. And so he, as a pagan priest, a godless man caught up in the systems of his world, is hearing about God working in the life of his son-in-law. And so we see his background. And then I want you to notice, after thinking about his background for a second, just what it was that led to this moment, because it's just really amazing. I want you to think for a second. Think about the arrival of Moses on Jethro's doorstep. You know, great moments and great men are often missed in their day. You say, what do you mean? When Zipporah and the other girls that had been taking care of Jethro's flocks that day came back to Jethro and said, you never know what happened today. You never guess what happened today. This Egyptian came. The guys at the well were giving us a hard time. And this Egyptian, he kind of warded them off and helped us water our flocks. And Jethro's like, well, why didn't you bring him back to like give him food or something? That was a fateful statement. Just kind of like that moment that you started your job at that, wherever you work, and you met your coworker who's never met Jesus Christ in his life. He probably doesn't even remember meeting you now. But one day, that moment may come back to his mind or her mind and think, wow, think about that moment that person entered my life and everything began to get ready to change. Moses arrived at Jethro's doorstep, and a little while later, Moses was called to Egypt. You think about that moment in Jethro's life. This is his now son-in-law for quite some time. He has grandchildren now, and Moses comes one day and says, hey, you're never going to guess what happened when I was on the backside of the wilderness today. I was out there, and I saw this bush, and it was on fire. It wasn't burning. I went up to it, and I met my God there at the bush. And it was amazing. And Jethro would probably, I don't know what he would have said, but maybe he just paused and listened because it was so, I don't know. But he's just listening thinking, I don't know what I let my daughter marry, but this guy is crazy. And he says, no, my God told me I am going to Egypt and I am supposed to lead in the deliverance of God's people out of Egypt. What if your son-in-law came and told you something like that about taking your daughter and their your grandkids and said, hey, we're supposed to go here? And Jethro, just whatever he did, he was part of it. And Moses packed his bags, so to speak, and hit the road. And however long it took, eventually, news of what God was doing in Egypt made it to Midian. Don't know what form it took, but it got there. You know that story? Remember Moses in Egypt? As one man and his brother Aaron are used of God to bring the most powerful nation in the world in its day to its knees. And God takes a group of slaves that had been held in captivity for hundreds of years in the nation of Egypt. And God begins to work in that situation up to the point where God leads the nation of Israel up out of Egypt, something that is so monumental, it's hard to even wrap your mind around. And I've done a little bit of study about ancient history. And you know the amazing thing about ancient history? A lot of times, some of these great events are not recorded. And sometimes, people that are that would attack the Bible will say, well, you know, you never find any record of the Israelites in Egypt. You never find any record about the Exodus in ancient Egypt's records. And I just want to tell you this. When you're writing the story and something that bad happens in your history, you know what you don't do? You don't write it. And I'm telling you the truth. Oftentimes in histories and cultures like that, they would take entire chunks of their history and just throw it in the garbage can because they never wanted anybody to know what had happened. But why thank the Lord that He recorded for us an accurate record of one of the most amazing times in history when God brought the Egyptians to their knees and led His people out. And Jethro heard about it. Now Zipporah's there. We don't know at what point she got back. It very well could be that Zipporah was Moses' messenger to go and tell Jethro what had happened. Because they did come with Moses to Egypt, if you read the record. But however it happened, Jethro had heard. And Jethro, the Bible says, it says, when he had heard in verse number 1, all that God had done for Moses, for Israel, his people, and all that the Lord had brought the Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took them all, and he gets on the road. He says, I've got to go. I've got to know what's going on. Maybe Moses had sent an invite, maybe he hadn't. But when he heard about what was happening, Jethro decided, cancel everything. Cancel the cult services. Cancel it all. Somebody watch my sheep. I'm going. I got to get there. I got to figure out what's going on. You know, when God is working in your life, and I'm kind of making a little bit kind of funny about it, but when God is working in your life, and you're seeing prayers answered, and you're seeing children brought back to a faithful position, when you're seeing God supply your needs, when you're seeing God give you peace, even when your needs are not being supplied like you would like, and you're able to weather the storms of pandemics and all the other things with a peace that the world doesn't seem to be able to find, people are going to wonder where it comes from. And they'll say things like, they'll say, hey, what's going on? How are you able to just stay so calm? Because the world's going crazy. When God's working in your life, it makes people wonder. It piques their curiosity. And eventually, sometimes, you can't force it to happen, but eventually some of them will come and ask you. And so Jethro made the journey to Moses, and as he comes there, it's certainly a wonderful moment. It's a family reunion of sorts. And family reunions are sometimes good and sometimes bad. You know, and sometimes family reunions, you know, if you think of some that you've been to, families can kind of be dysfunctional sometimes, but this was a good one. And you think about some that you've been to. I remember some of our family reunions when I was growing up, and you think about the people when you see them, and there are some people that are just recognizable. And I'm sure Moses may have been one of those people, and the light that would have been on his face. But I have an uncle, a great uncle, I believe is what he would actually be. But my uncle Mike is what we called him. Uncle Mike was, he had some tendencies that made him memorable. And you can remember those moments. And I remember one thing about him, he would stand with his hands in the back, kind of like tucked into his pants. He'd just kind of stand there. And I remember one time we were in a new location for our family reunion, and we couldn't find it. And then I saw from a distance somebody standing there with their hands tucked in the back of their pants. And I thought, there's Uncle Mike. I said, we found him. And the family reunion moment, you know. And I don't know what it was like when Jethro finally came to that point and he said, hey, there they are, there they are. Probably wasn't quite like that. But they found him. And it was a joyous moment as they came together and they hugged and they kissed and they were glad to be reunited. And as they come to that moment, I want you to think about what Moses said. And I'm trying to come through this as quickly as we can tonight so you can latch onto it. Because it is, this is what your job is. You're going to go through life just like Moses went through life. Yours is going to be different than his and different than mine and different from everybody else in this room. But when it gets to this point, I want you to focus on Moses' communication. We've seen a cultivated curiosity, and there was this compelling communication. When Jethro arrived with joy and curiosity, he came and he comes to Moses, and Moses begins to explain to him. And I want you to notice the spirit of what Moses has said. In verse number 8, Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered him. He told of how God had overcome the Egyptians. And he told in that moment, he said, all the travail that came by us in the way. You know what that means? That's the trouble. The hard things that we had to endure. But I want you to think about this. He told of the troubles so that he could tell the story of the triumph. When he was focusing on that, or when he was saying that, he was saying, "This, we came to this moment. We came to the Red Sea, and God did this great work, and God had led us out, and God brought this plague, and this one, and that one." And he told the story. If you want to know what I think Moses probably told him in one major part, go back to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15 is Moses' song after God had led them over the Red Sea, and the people are rejoicing, and they write this song, and they sing it to God. And I can't imagine that Moses probably didn't just sing the song to Jethro. Look at what God has done. So tonight, that's your homework. Go home, read about that moment. Just get in the spirit of the moment. And you know, it's sad because oftentimes we don't have that focus. Often our focus is just the trouble. Spurgeon said, God's people are prone to engrave their trials in marble and write their blessings in the sand. Moody said, there is more said in the Bible about praise than prayer. But we have more prayer meetings than praise meetings. And I say this at this moment. Praise God for what He's done. That right there, that's your responsibility. You just lift up God, and God will work in hearts. As Brother Dan mentioned just a little bit ago, this man's been coming over the last few weeks to our Spanish service, and God has been working in his heart. And Dan had the opportunity to be that privileged person to just take it open. And in those moments, you just kind of point to it, and it just kind of happens. You know why that works that way? Because God is at working. You're just telling the story. Because that's all he did. He told the story. This is what God did. He sent his son. He loves you. He died for you. All you got to do is believe. That's praising God right there. You tell the gospel, that's the greatest way to praise God you could probably ever get to. Because that's the story that has changed all of human history. And so in this moment, he just praised the Lord. He just lifted that up. He said, hey, this is what God had done. He delivered us from the hands of this wicked man. He delivered us from the clutches of this sinful nation. And you could think, if you were part of that moment, you think about Israel coming up out of Egypt. If you were part of that, you would probably be telling everybody you could. Now, everybody that they were with in the wilderness pretty much knew the story. I mean, they had been there. But you think about it. Oh, I just can't wait to tell somebody. When something good happens, I just can't wait to share it. And sometimes we're prone to think that story is greater than our story. But you know what? You and I have a greater deliverance story than Moses did. Coming out of Egypt is one thing. But being brought up out of the miry clay and having your feet set upon the rock and God establishing your goings and putting a new song in your mouth and praise unto your God, saving yours and my wretched souls from a condemnation that is far greater than slavery in a foreign land, a condemnation that would have left us in hell forever, that, my friend, is deliverance. And so you might say, well, that story was a good story. Mine's just kind of a story. I tell you what, my story's better than that. It may not be quite as dramatic, but I'm telling you what, it's awesome. And if I just get up and I get excited like that, I mean, I'm not always this excited about it because I'm a carnal Christian just like the rest of us, but I'm excited tonight. And I was driving down the road the other day thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know what? I have a God that is true, that I know is true. I have a God that this book right here, I mean, thousands of years of people have tried to disprove it and discredit it and throw it in the mud. And people try to say today that church isn't essential and we don't need all of this stuff and you don't even know if you can trust it and all that kind of stuff. And I was thinking as I was driving around the road the other day, my God is true. I have a truth that is unshakable. I have a salvation that is real. I mean, real, real. I mean, one day I will be in heaven. I will never, ever put my big toe in the flames of hell. One day I'm going to spend eternity with God forever. My sins have been washed away. What a joy it is to know that I serve that God, that I have that salvation, that I can have those in my heart and I can share those facts with a world that desperately needs it. That is a compelling communication. Not because I'm giving it tonight, but that's just what God did in my life. That's kind of what God did in Moses' life, but it was more physical in its representation, but they told the story. You know what happened after that? Notice the changed conviction. Jethro rejoiced. This is verse number 9. For all the goodness which the Lord the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. This is it. This is the key statement right here. Verse number 11. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. Don't read past it. This was a priest to a false god. And he just said, Jehovah is greater than them all. Sounds like a testimony or a profession of faith to me if I've ever heard one. This man who had spent his life teaching false tenets of a false faith in this moment realizes God is the true God. God is greater than all. And you could never convince me in this moment that Jethro is not coming to faith in the God of the Bible because of the story of what God had done. God is working. God has worked. And if we would just get excited about it, if we just tell, because I know some of you live more excited than I live, and I'm so grateful for so many of you. You encourage me. Every time I come to church, I get encouraged. I love all of you so much. It is such a joy. And you just keep doing that. You just keep telling what God has done in your life, and God is going to use you. You don't always know how. You don't always know when. You don't know when your father-in-law or your brother-in-law or your sister-in-law or your coworker or whoever it is, just somebody out on the street one day that looks at you and you say, you look happy, and I sure am not happy, and they come up to you, whatever it is, just tell what God has done. Let it be evident. And if we'll begin to spread what God is doing in our lives, in our church. You know, we just came out of a pandemic and we just renovated our auditorium and it looks beautiful over there and we're excited about what God is doing and people have been joining our church and somebody was saved at our church this morning. We got like 6 people lined up to get baptized next Sunday or more than that. I mean, God's doing something here. All we got to do is tell people. People are looking for churches like ours. Sometimes we forget to tell them that ours is like ours. Just tell about what God is doing. That's it. That's all that Mr. Stud did when he told his sons. And it sparked a fire that changed hundreds and thousands of lives through his son. I don't know all that God's going to do through our church. But tonight I've been encouraged. And I know I'm the one that's preaching. You're probably thinking, if you'd just kept to your joke, I'd have been encouraged too. But God's working. We've got a great church. We've got a great pastor. I get to serve with a great staff, and they have to serve with me. We're bringing on a great young couple. It's all great. And we have, get this, a great God. Amen. Let's just let people know about it and see what God desires to do. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. So ladies make their way to the instruments. And as soon as they get there, they can begin to play. Tonight, as we have this time of invitation, I've said a lot tonight. I know, and I appreciate you listening so well to it all. But tonight, I want all of us, I want to, and if you'll do it with me, and I know, Pastor, this is his heart, I want all of us to recommit to just sharing what God is doing. Share what God has done. So in a moment we'll stand, and I'll invite anybody who would come to come. You can do it there in your seat, but to come and pray and say, God, help me to be used to share your works. You know, it's not dependent on us. And that takes a whole lot of pressure off. It's just dependent on God. And he'll keep doing what he does. All we have to do is tell people. So in a moment, we'll stand and we'll have that time, and we'll come. If you want to come and pray and ask God to use you to share the message. But if you're here tonight, and I was talking about all that God did in my life and saving me, delivering me. We talked about a man who was saved this afternoon at our church. You think, I've never put my faith in Jesus Christ. Or I don't even know if I'm going to heaven. You said you're going to heaven one day. I don't know if I am. If that's you, you come forward when everybody else, if anybody else does, you come forward and we'll meet you here. We'll talk to you about how you can be certain that you've been delivered from hell and we'll spend eternity in heaven. Because that's what we want to do. Share that message of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand together. I'll pray. As soon as I say amen, I'd invite you to come. Spend some time asking God to use you. Father, thank you for the day you've given. Thank you for our wonderful church. Lord, I pray for your blessings and pray for your help. I pray you'd use us as a church family to do all that you'd have for us to do. I pray you'd bless this time of invitation. Lord, that you would seal these truths in our heart as we go forward for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd like to come or you'd like to pray right where you are, pray that God would use you to share the message. To tell about God's works. Let him use you. Let him bless someone else through your testimony. So wonderful to know that God is at work. As you're standing there, I hope that you're thinking about when God delivered you. I hope that you'll try to tell someone this week about something that God is doing in your life. Something that God is doing in our church. We've given you one really easy thing. Just tell them, next week we're having a dedication service. We just renovated our auditorium, and we thank the Lord that we've been able to do that. You come and see it. Come and be part of it. It's exciting. How many of you would say, this week I want to try to tell someone about something that God has done in my life? If you would, I want you just to raise your hand and just say, my raising my hand is just to say, I want to tell somebody about what God's doing. What a wonderful thing. I hope that I'm going to pray that God would help you do just that, you can put your hands down. They'll play through just a little bit more. We'll have a closing couple statements for you, and then we'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight. I do trust and hope that you'll be come by if you're able, if you're not tied up in one of these meetings, to come by and see Brother Kyle and Miss Anna. Let them know you'll be praying for them and meet them, especially if you haven't yet. But do remind you that there's an ushers meeting and a greeters meeting in the home builders class and the cancer ministry meeting in the Berean classroom after the service tonight. And just enjoy some time together. And we had a lot to fit into the service tonight, so thank you for bearing with as we went a little over sometimes what we do. I'm going to have Brother Farmer come to the platform. He's just got a couple things to mention to you here as the service closes, and he'll close us in prayer. And as soon as he prays, you're dismissed for the evening. Thank you so much for being here tonight. It's been a joy to be in church today.
Yes, sir. Am I good, John? How about number three? That sounds a lot better. Thank you. I just wanted to do what Daniel just preached about. I just want to praise the Lord very briefly, and then I'll pray. And while I'm praising the Lord, I just want to encourage you, but I also want to challenge you. It wasn't 14 months ago that Marty, our deacon chair, would be briefing us, would be bringing us up to speed about a pulpit search and where we were going. And then look at where we're at now, how good the Lord's been to us. And a pastor and his wife that they sent us, and as we came together as a pulpit committee, you may remember the phrase that we were looking for a pastor who could preach. And what does a pastor mean? One of the main attributes when you say pastor is a shepherd. And what a shepherd we have. How he looks after us, how he looks after you all, how he cares for you in times of need. We have a pastor. And can he preach? He fills the pulpit with messages that can be applied daily, and it's the rubber meets the road preaching. So the Lord has been good to Buffalo Ridge, and I am thankful for you all and how you follow Him. And here's my encouragement. He doesn't ask much of us. He doesn't ask corporately much that He asks of us. And this morning, I noticed He said something. He said, hey, if your schedule allows it, I want you to be here Wednesday night. In 14 months, He's led us through a building program and a pandemic, and we're about to celebrate a new auditorium. And He's asked us to be there on Wednesday night. So not only let's praise the Lord and be out this week, but let's be there Wednesday. That's what He asked us to do this morning. And so invite somebody for this Sunday, and let's have a good time in the Lord's house Wednesday and Sunday night. The Lord has been good to Buffalo Ridge. And why has He been good to Buffalo Ridge? Because we try to follow Him. We try to honor Him. We try to obey Him and do what He wants. So let's do that this week. Daniel, thank You for the message. Lord, I'm grateful to be Your child. Thankful for the church that You placed me in 26 years ago and under Preacher Lashley's message one Sunday night in my apartment. I ask You to be my Savior, and I was forever protected from wrath. Thank You for that, Lord. Thank You for this church that surrounded me and grew me and discipled me and allowed me to be part of it, Lord, and just to minister occasionally. Help us to all come together as one for the next few weeks and to honor You with the privilege that we have of reaching our community. Help us to reach out to others, as Daniel said, and tell our exciting story of a church that loves the Lord and loves others and wants to see them saved and to see them grow in You. Help us to have us on their mind this week. Help us to follow our pastor. Lord, You're good to us. We're thankful for Your Son. In His name, amen. You are dismissed.